Welcome to your home for sports coverage without the bias. This is Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen. We got episode 125 coming at you this week. We have the Final Four in March Madness. It's set. No one expected this. If anyone said they expected this, they knew nothing about basketball. They just filled in a random bracket, and now they're bragging to you. But no one expected this. I think they were like seven of 22 million that brackets that picked this Final Four, I believe. I think it was an insane number. It might have even been one. But we've got that. We've got some free agency happening, some news in the NFL. Finally, a major piece that I thought was going to be the first one to fall has finally semi-fallen. So we'll talk about that.
I think the piece you're talking about has not even come close to falling, though.
It's fallen though. Finally, in a way.
Yeah,
it's finally in a way.
And nobody can know what we're talking about until we talk about it. So, haha. And also, Josh, you're going to cut out what was said right before we started recording.
Yeah.
Right?
So stay tuned. Okay. Stay tuned. And yeah, I will. And okay. You'll find out what we're talking about. We also have baseball's back tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening to this. But baseball is officially back, and the man in hockey jersey is celebrating. It's not me, people.
Yeah.
And then finally, we do have some hockey notes. So we'll go around. We're going to start with March Madness because it's just a great place to start. It's kind of what the sports world been talking about.
Wait, Josh, compliments. Big ups. Big ups to you right there. You, for the first time maybe in our show's history, you said what we're going to talk about before we're going to talk about it. That's actually what most sports podcasts do. Mm-hmm. And we're figuring that out. What episode are we on?
125
episodes. We're quick learners.
126 if you count the one we did not record, but we did.
Yeah. The lost episode.
People forget there's an episode.
And also, actually, it's kind of 127 because there was an episode we didn't record and then re-recorded as well. And then that was our worst episode because we were just both pissed off because I forgot to record.
But we actually, in charge of that. It was our best episode because we actually knew what we were going to talk about.
I think it was one of our best episodes while we weren't recording. Like I do remember, like, I'm like, that was awesome. Like, we crushed that episode.
Oh, great.
And then we had to do it all over again. So yeah, it was great. But hey, yeah, let's talk about March Madness. Let's go crazy. Let's get mad here.
Yeah, let's do it.
We have our Final Four set.
Final Four. Who are they, Kellen?
Final Four is set. We have a 4 seed, 2 5 seeds, and a 9 seed. It's insane. It's FAU. We got Miami. FAU's the 9 seed. Miami's a 5. San Diego State's a 5. And UConn, the favorite, probably, and they've been dominating this tournament, is the 4 seed. I mean, I had UConn in my Final Four, which big ups to me on that. Nobody else could have predicted these other 3 teams. I mean, and if you look at the way they've gotten to the Final Four, like FAU, they could have easily lost on a pretty bad jump ball call, out of bounds call, whatever, against Memphis in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And then they get Fairleigh Dickinson, the 2nd seed. So people are thinking, okay, well, you know, you beat the 16 seed. But they've made it all the way to the Final Four. They've gutted out some wins. This is the most fun tournament I can remember in my life. And that's excluding Baylor's national championship run, of course, because that was the most fun for me personally. But in terms of the upsets, the action, I mean, UConn's been there a lot of times before, but 3 teams that have never been to a Final Four. And
I love it.
Yeah. I don't know how you can't enjoy this tournament. It's wonderful. It's March. And that's what's been like so great for me about this tournament is I don't know these teams very well. I know UConn decent because they're actually like a legit blue blood team. I know next to nothing about FAU, and I know very little about Miami and San Diego State, because I didn't think those were teams I had to focus on before the tournament started. And that's what's great about March. That's why we talk about the tournament as much as we talk about the teams, because it's just, it's pure chaos. And yeah, what have you thought about it so far, Josh? I've been talking for a while.
What have I thought about? I've thought it's been great for the casual fan to be able to watch because, you know,
definitely.
Yes, you like the Blue Bloods probably draw more people in, but in a way this does draw quite a bit of people in because we're like, oh, this is new. It's fun, funky, fresh. Like, that's what it is. It was a cool tournament. It's been a great tournament. I have a feeling we could get a snoozer of a national championship, possibly somehow out of this.
I mean, the way UConn's been rolling teams over, and just like me saying that, now I think Miami might beat UConn, and we get a great
Miami's going to be UConn because Miami will beat UConn. My big takeaway from this like last weekend is it's been a great tournament, but on Sunday, the Creighton San Diego State game is exactly, absolutely everything I hate about the sport of basketball. It is everything.
And I understand that.
The end of that game encapsulates, and I'm not going to go on my rant here about how basketball is such a soft sport, whatever. I'm just saying, like, it's a bummer for me because I'm just, like, sitting there going, I'm getting five more minutes of this game. Like, it's back and forth. The game's great. I'm like, I'm getting overtime. This is going to be awesome. I'm stuck on a plane. I'm trying to watch this game. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And then there's a foul call that just gifts the game to San Diego State. I'm not trying to take away from San Diego State, but like, and again, it was stuff that they let the refs let go the entire game is probably more so the appropriate response to this versus like basketball, like, you know, you can't touch anybody. So I'm going to go with the basketball guy side of this where it's like they let that go the entire game.
There we go.
And then they decided to call that at the end. I just think it sucks. That sucks that had to happen because I wanted that game to go forever because it was such a fun game. And every time a team, like both teams had chances where it looked like, hey, maybe they can pull away from this. The other team comes back. It was just no one could throw that knockout punch, and it really sucks that it had to come from a bad foul call, in my opinion. So that really sucked, but I thought we were going to have a major ball don't lie moment, and he was going to miss them both.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Then I wouldn't be upset about it. I would have been like, this is the greatest basketball game I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. So, or like a buzzer beater. I mean, that could have happened too, because there's still 2 seconds, but that's not enough time. But yeah, no, I agree with you in that it was a foul. It was a foul at the end of the game. Nembhard had him on the hip. He pushed him a little bit. It affected the shot. However, it's the Elite Eight, and it's been a physical game. It's been a back and forth game. And I ended that game thinking, I'm not sure the best team won. I'm not sure they lost either, but it sucks. You know, you battle for 40 minutes. This is the last game of basketball that they're ever going to play. It's Creighton and San Diego State. It's not like these are guys getting 5-star recruits or anything. These are guys who have been here multiple years and have built that program up. And these coaches, Greg McDermott, I mean, he's been at Creighton forever. The San Diego State coach, his name is escaping me, but he's been there forever. So they built those programs really from the ground up. And to, like, I don't know, just for that game to end on a whistle, it hurts because it's been such a great tournament. And it was such a great game as a part of the tournament leading into the Final Four. And you can make a similar case about the Texas-Miami game on that box out. Although Texas, they did blow a massive lead in that game, so I'm not as torn up about that. They were already, but on that box out, that was a massive call in the game that gave Miami the lead, and they never looked back. So before the Elite Eight, I really hadn't had a huge problem with the officials either. It's just, I think they just need to let the game play out. These players are putting their hearts on the line, and we're really seeing, like, a lot of the time the best team has won. And that's what's been that's what's been great about this tournament is like, okay, like for example, Fairleigh Dickinson versus Purdue. Purdue played down to their level the entire game.
Yep.
FDU got them off their game the whole time, and that's why they won. And they were the better team that game. Maybe they're the worst team 99 times out of 100, but they were the better team against Purdue. And that's been the case for most of the tournament. Not against the Elite Eight. Yeah, not in the Elite Eight, which sucks. And that's for the Final Four on the line. Come on. Yeah. It's crazy. It shouldn't have ended that way. It sucks. But, yeah, it's still been a great tournament.
Not to beat a dead horse, but, like, I don't think there's either coach after this game, if it goes to overtime, because they didn't call that, is upset that wasn't called. I don't, like...
Maybe
because they did review that, right? They reviewed that one, right?
You can't review fouls in college. Okay.
But, like, maybe because there was so much drama around it, though, like, maybe the coach gets mad. But I really do not actually think that either coach is upset that doesn't get called after the game. If it goes to overtime,
definitely.
It doesn't matter. Like, that was
apparently the
one that you could have let go.
Yeah, apparently the only coach in college basketball who would get mad at that is Tom Izzo because he refuses to accept that Kansas State was the better team against him in the Sweet 16. I mean, that's the kind of game it was. It was physical. Let it be physical up until the last whistle. Unfortunately, it wasn't. But, hey, we still had some good games. This whole March is like, we've kind of been seeing like a buildup the last couple of years, and I think this is just like the accumulation of all the madness is this tournament.
Yeah.
Because like we've seen now a 15-2 upset in three straight tournaments. We've now seen our second 16-1 upset, which I never thought would happen in my entire life a couple of years ago. That's happened twice now in just the last couple tournaments. And now, like, maybe all this is building up, and I don't want to jinx them, and that's why I'm not going to say their name right now. I'll just say their seed. Maybe this is building up for the first 9 seed to ever win an NCAA tournament. It would be the lowest seed to ever win. It would beat out Villanova as an 8 seed doing it in, like, the 80s or 70s. I don't know when they did it.
But I'm going to –
That could be what we've been waiting for. It could be the biggest, maddest tournament, and what do you got to break to me?
It's going to be the battle of 5 seeds in the national championship. So we will not.
You think UConn's getting taken the loss? UConn took it to Drew Timmy.
Yeah, I know.
Adama Sinoga. Oh, I mean, emasculated. He pantsed him in front of the entire country. That's Drew Timmy. That's the guy who's been dominating college basketball for 4 years. You think UConn's going to get run down by Coach Bell?
I do, and you want to know why?
I'd love to know why.
Because every basketball genius and every basketball everyone has gotten pantsed by this tournament. So I'm going to keep with the theme here of this seems so certain to everybody that there's not a chance it's going to happen. And if it's going to happen, I'm okay being wrong about this. I'm okay being wrong about it.
Well,
Miami?
But are you going to be
– Yeah.
I was just going to say, are you going to be okay being wrong about it when I hit you with this? Everybody is thinking what you're thinking already, Josh. So they're already picking Miami. Okay? Now you're going to be wrong, and you're going to be wrong with everyone else, and you're going to feel stupid about that. You're going to feel like a big dum-dum.
I know. I might feel stupid, but it's going to be short-lived because
– That's why I'm picking UConn, which – Now I want to pick Miami.
Is UConn your national champion?
UConn's my Okay, I can't pick a national champion right now because then I know it's going to be wrong. But I can pick a winner in the Final Four, and that's going to be UConn, and it's going to be the Owls of FAU. Shout out, Lane.
Okay, I'm going to say a 5 seed is winning this tournament.
Okay.
5 seed's going to win the tournament.
If we're just talking like strictly percentages, that's a 50% chance. Which it's not that bold of you. It could be 100% chance.
But I said it with conviction, so it sounded a lot bolder than it actually was.
No, if you take everything out of it.
Okay, but imagine if I said this. Imagine if I said this 3 weeks ago, Kellen. Yeah.
I'm not saying it sounds stupid. I'm just saying it doesn't sound bold. Yeah.
I was just repeating.
It still sounds kind of bold because you are picking against UConn right now, who their closest game I think is 15 points.
That's fine.
And they probably have had the toughest. Miami's had a pretty tough path, actually. But, Miami's probably had the toughest path to the Final Four. UConn's had a pretty tough path as well. They've had to get through a couple good teams.
And I'm also – I am looking
– Miami also – they were on the ropes against Drake, but they've beaten Indiana, they've beaten Houston, and they've beaten Texas. Well, those are three really good teams that could have made the Final Four.
You've got to play the hot hand. I like Miami playing in slugfests. I really do. I'm also looking at it as, I think, in terms of partying after winning the national championship, Miami University number one, FAU number two, could be a number one. San Diego State, you're number three. One. You think San Diego State's number one as far as partying?
No, I think UConn's number one.
Partying if they win though, like as far as
I
like
do. I do.
I'm not talking. I'm not talking just like you know a normal party. I'm talking like a just burn the campus down party.
No, it doesn't have to do with the schools and them being. It just has to do with the fan bases. UConn fans are psychopaths. They're Northeast sports fans. Okay, these other fans, they're from South Florida. And they're from California. They're from L.A. and San Diego. Not the best sports fans in those regions of the country necessarily.
Well, but I'm
and
talking UConn, about students.
If you look at them, students. Oh,
I'm thinking the campus party.
No.
I'm thinking the campus party.
Okay. No, I could get on board with that. I could get on board with that then.
I was
thinking just
crazy.
like fan base is going crazy.
Base,
it would be UConn.
Yeah, UConn.
Because they've had – UConn is – UConn's probably the most successful. You can look at it this way. UConn's won, if they win this national championship, and already even if they don't, they've won the most national championships of any team of the 21st century. But they've also had really bad seasons in between there. They've gone through three coaches. Jim Calhoun retired. He retired a legend. Kevin Ollie, he won a national championship and then stunk it up. And then Dan Hurley had a couple bad years before he really built this program up, which is, I mean, it's understandable, but UConn's been waiting for this, and they expect it, too. That's why I think they would go crazy. But you're absolutely right. The students at those other schools, I think, would go ballistic.
Miami,
and I don't think Miami – I would put FAU as one.
The only reason I'm putting Miami as one is because I think a ton of notable football players are going to come back to campus to celebrate. And there's going to be guns. There's going to be guns and hard drugs everywhere. That's what I'm envisioning from Miami, is when they win, there is going to be a scandal that is going to come out of this championship party like none other. Because it's going to, like...
Yeah.
I guess I'm moving a little bit beyond just students, but, like, recent alumni and, like, that football team, they're going to all come back. And they're going to go party on this game.
I agree. It's gonna be a cocaine fest. It's gonna look like January in Antarctica there. I agree with you on that. But I don't know if they go as crazy for basketball as they do for football. I'm sure they would. They'll go crazy for it. They just need an excuse to party.
I love this
Jim Larranaga team. I think they're playing the right basketball at the right. It's one of those teams where They've definitely figured it out at the right time, and that's a dangerous thing when you're in a one game elimination tournament.
Oh yeah,
because
and now that we've
you could just catch a team on a hot streak that's unbeatable, and that's what's kind of been happening with Miami and UConn. So it's an unstoppable force versus an immovable object.
And now that we've talked about how Miami's probably going to win for the last 5 minutes, sorry, not a chance. You guys are done. You're dead.
Yeah. Are you going to switch to UConn with me now?
No, I got to ride with my fives. I'm going to ride with the fives.
All right.
I want fives. And, I mean, while we're talking about the madness, I guess we would be remiss to not mention that the women's tournament has been absolutely insane as well. They actually surpassed the NBA for the highest watched basketball game this year on ESPN. So they beat the NBA on ESPN, which is really, really cool. It's been great. It was really like the Miami LSU game on Sunday. I was watching that and I was about to text Aaron because I turned it on. I was like, oh, this is going to be really good. Like, it's two competitive teams. Like, this will be entertaining to like watch. I think the score was like 2-0 6 minutes into the game. And I was like, yep, this go figure. Everyone's finally going to turn on a women's basketball game. There's going to be no scoring in it whatsoever. And then everyone's going to get jump ship. But it did pick up. It was entertaining. I thought it was cool, though, that they passed the NBA, which is, for ESPN, that can't be a good look.
Trying to build up the women's game. Yes, it's a good look.
But, Kellen, I don't think it's because they did such a great job building up women's college basketball as much as it is. They really suck at marketing the two professional sports that they primarily carry on their network. That they signed TV deals. Like, I'm not trying to take away the women's tournament, but
ESPN's biggest problem is for the major sports, they hire people who don't know anything about that sport. And then for a sport like women's basketball, you actually need to hire people who understand that because not a lot of people do. So you need someone that's knowledgeable. But you're right. The women's tournament has been insane. And I think, like, if you compare it to the men's tournament, you have these really good teams. Like, these have been the four best teams. They play together super well. Like, the star players, Jonell Davis out of Gary, Indiana, on FAU. He's had some stinkers. He's their best player. He's had some bad games. And then if you look at San Diego State, Matt Bradley, he didn't have a single point against whoever they played in the Sweet 16. I forget until very late in that game. So it's been a lot of the teams carrying them. But on the women's side of the tournament, they have the most exciting athlete in sports right now, in Caitlin Clark. She posted. It, never in college basketball history, men's or women's tournament, has there been a 40-point triple-double. She posted the first one in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four against the Louisville team, who was really exciting, and they had Haley Van Lith going off and getting into it with people and the handshake lines. There's exciting stuff happening in the women's tournament. It's been just as fun as the men's tournament, and a big part of that is the talent levels of some of these girls is insane. Like Sabrina Ionescu, who is that? I don't know, because Caitlin Clark is significantly better. She's been excited. I don't want to compare her to Sabrina. That's not fair.
Caitlin Clark has been amazing. She has been very fun to watch. So all around March Madness, just it's been great on both sides. Absolutely been loving it. And We'll bring you the recap of the Final Four, everything that happened there. But let's just stop by the NHL for a hot second. The Penguins are still clinging to a playoff spot. Last time we recorded, the Florida Panthers had lost a game against Philadelphia that kept the Penguins around. Florida keeps losing, keeps helping Pittsburgh out. Pittsburgh's really not doing too much. They're too injured. They're just going to limp into the playoffs and die. It's kind of like we're at the part in Old Yeller where, like, you don't want to put the – like, he doesn't want to have to do it, but he knows that what he has to do. So
– spoiler, dude. Come on.
Take us out back and shoot us already is my message to the Penguins front office. Just take us out back and shoot us, please. Stop doing this to me. It's miserable.
Can I give you some good news, though, that will make you feel better?
Yeah.
The Blackhawks are right back in the Connor Bedard sweepstakes.
Yeah,
they've been sucking lately. Yeah.
They've done a great job of just being so terrible. And I will say,
we're really good at being bad.
I did finally today, Kellen, I got I know I got a taste of what it feels like. So the Penguins played the Red Wings last night. The Red Wings beat the Penguins, obviously, which is why I'm so down on the Penguins right now. And just about every single person that walked by my office today said, "Hey, do you know if the Red Wings played last night?" And none of them are hockey people. And they all were like, "Oh, I just saw the score on the bottom of my screen, and I know you're a huge Penguins fan, so I had to bring it up." So I got a little taste of my own medicine today at work when everyone stopped by and was like, "Oh, by the way, like, did the Red Wings happen to play a game last night?" And I was like, "Just stop doing this to me. It's 4 o'clock. It's been so long." So I'm not going to stop doing it.
And Josh,
but
no, and nor should you. And I'm so happy to hear that that did happen to you. I'm not happy to hear that the Penguins are playing poorly, but I'm very happy to hear that at least people are in your life. You've surrounded yourself with the right people that are holding you accountable for your actions. Yeah. And you got a taste of your own medicine, and I'm very happy you did.
The best part
is you got a big piece of humble pie.
The best part about it is how quickly, like. So I'm sitting there, and one of my coworkers, he is, like, an actual hockey guy, and I was texting him last night because he texted me. And, like, so I'm going to laugh because this might go down as one of the worst wins in Red Wings history, because this win could very well put them out of getting Connor Bedard. And the people that actually know hockey, I can just be like, yeah, that was actually a worse win for you than it was a loss for us. And we're trying to make the playoffs. And so then, like, I just start automatically going into, like, oh, now you're not going to get Connor Bedard. And they're like, "Look, I don't care. I don't know. Like, just stop talking about hockey right now." And I was like, so I was able to turn that around pretty quickly by, like, actually.
What's awesome, like, though, is that that means nothing to a casual fan, though. That means nothing to them. They're still just like, okay, you lost.
I'm like, that win is a terrible win. You're a loser. Yeah. You won the game last night. Ha! So, <Yeah. laughs> got him. I got him right back. Yeah, I felt good.
Oh, you really feel good about that win? Actually, it's going to set your franchise back 5 years.
Yeah.
Nice try.
Oh, congrats. Yeah, idiot. So, that's what's been going on in hockey. There's not teams are starting to clinch here. I did have an oh crap moment because during the broadcast last night, they were talking about the teams in the playoffs because the Red Wings aren't. So they have to talk about teams that actually are in the playoffs. And they were talking about Boston, who is breaking, like, all the records for teams. And they're like, yeah, and hopefully Nick Foligno and Taylor Hall will be back for the playoffs. Those are two top six guys that aren't on the team I don't know were hurt. I didn't know they were hurt. They've been hurt. They've been hurt for so long. And the Bruins are still killing
Taylor
teams.
Hall, a former MVP in his prime. Yeah. That's
league MVP. 3 years ago. 4 years ago, league MVP. What? I didn't even realize that. So that's hockey. That's where we're at with hockey. I didn't even know. So I don't know.
Great news for you is you can, like, if the Bruins do not win at all, I mean, the expectation is for them to. You can absolutely clown the hell out of their fans if they don't, because that is
it's
Stanley Cup or bust for them.
It's going to be so fun. And they can still win a cup, and I'll still have more cups than them, like, in the modern
era. There you go.
So I can live with that.
Which is what people care about.
Also, I'm going to say it right now so it doesn't. If the Maple Leafs make it past the first round, it's hard for me to say this without laughing, but if the Maple Leafs do make it past the first round and the Penguins don't, I'm riding with the Maple Leafs. I'm jumping on their bandwagon if they make it past the first round. I still want them to lose. What? I'm rooting against them in the first round because it's comical. But if they make it past, I'm riding with the Leafs.
Wouldn't it be something if the Maple Leafs beat the Bruins? This Bruins team? Yeah.
I think maybe
the best Bruins team we've ever seen.
One of the best teams the sport of hockey has ever seen. I think they will.
Yeah.
If they play them, I think they'll beat them. I think this is it. This is shaping up to be Toronto's year. This is shaping up to be.
It would be the ultimate monkey off your back moment for sure.
Like, the Maple Leafs might never lose a game again if they beat this Bruins team.
Maybe.
They might never
lose. That could be dangerous.
They might not ever lose another game.
We'll see.
I mean, statistically speaking, that's hard to do, but they might, like, they might not lose again.
It may never happen. You never know. The Earth could explode, like, right after they win the cup. Who knows? We don't know.
No. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Any other hockey news you got?
April 17th, the playoffs start. Playoffs. That's the big stuff.
Right on.
Let's throw it over to football real quick because we did have some breaking news in the football world. Yep. We had the coach's picture finally came out.
Dude, you see my guy? Yeah. My coach? He looked good.
I saw your coach.
He looked
my
really
coach
good.
Looked good, too. I think we had the two best looking coaches.
He did. Mike Tomlin always looks good.
Coach T looks good. He's always looking good. Yeah.
The Flus had some man pecs on him. Yep. He looked like the Incredible Bulk. He wasn't going to get pushed around. Cake.
He's pushing dudes around. He's not getting pushed around. So no, that
it
was
makes
great
me happy. It makes me happy that we do have a defensive minded coach who is ripped.
That's
Chicago Bears football.
There's a chance he headbutts someone with a helmet on.
I would love that. Like, if that happens, I'm buying a Flus jersey.
Yeah, I think that can happen. So that was going
and,
on.
Josh.
Yeah.
We did manhandle John Harbaugh because he sat in the front row in a chair this year. He was not standing in the back row.
Nope.
Big short guy energy.
Yep.
Looking smaller than Sean McVay.
I do love it. I love it. They got bullied so much that like they didn't even go with, okay, you got to put me like so you can see my body. They went, sit me down. Just sit me down. So everyone that was semi-short sat down. And Andy Reid, because he's like, I'm not standing for this.
And Andy Reid, yeah. No. I thought it was really funny. It's like my family, we take a Christmas picture every year.
Yeah.
And we always have Grandpa and Grandma sit in the middle, of course. And they had Andy Reid and Bill Belichick right next to each other, like the Grandpa and Grandma of the NFL. I thought it was adorable. It was a cute little moment.
It was great. I loved it.
They should have
kissed. It was great. And I mean, players can wear the number zero here. We're going in the things that don't actually matter to the outcome of the game order of the NFL news this week, but they also matter the most. Why do we start with this? So because this is what matters the most. When you really break it down, this is what matters the most out of all of the news. The coach, coach's photo, you can wear number zero. People look weird in the number zero. Micah Parsons is changing his number. I don't think he's going to look as fast being zero as he did wearing ones.
No, that's not a fast guy number.
I don't think he's going to look fast. I don't think zero is a fast number. And then finally, Lamar Jackson requested a trade on March 2nd, apparently. And he has
there
now
we go.
Gone on a rant.
That's what we teased, just so everybody knows.
Yes. He went on a rampage on Twitter. So I'm going to break it down real quick.
A what?
He's been on
a
rampage
on
what?
Twitter.
A rampage.
What? No, what? Say that word. A rampage?
Rampage.
Tell me that is not how you've said that word your entire life. Tell me. No.
I don't want to say rampage. It doesn't sound cool.
Okay. What? That's... Okay. I was getting concerned for a second that you were saying a word that I've never even heard of before. It's rampage. What are you talking about?
Rampage.
Rampage sounds way cooler.
Rampage.
Ugh. You disgust me. Anyways, we can't get hung up on this one. This is gonna make me too angry.
He went on a rampage on
Thank
Twitter. And absolutely crazy. So crazy. And he's tweeting out all of this. So like we will kind of chronologically go through everything that happens here. So he tweets out he requested a trade on March 2nd. Every insider then retweets it and makes it seem like it's their own news, even though he broke the news himself. He did this approximately 2 minutes before Harbaugh had to get in front of the press yes. and answer questions.
Dude, that was which mean. Was
an all-time move by Harbaugh, where he's like, I'm committed to him being our quarterback and all this, saying the right things. He's done. He's done in Baltimore. He doesn't want to play. I've seen it firsthand with a running back, too. When they decide they don't want to play, they don't want to play. They're done. And I think
I'm looking at – actually, that's a great point, because if you are a legit quarterback, you're getting that contract first off. And yes. you're like – and the reason he's holding out is the same reason running backs hold out, because they need to protect their legs as much as possible. Yeah. They need to get that financial security before their legs are completely torn off their body. And that's what Lamar Jackson's doing. He is treating this contract negotiation like a running back.
And so that all comes out. No teams have offer-sheeted him. We don't really know what's going to happen. It seems like there's only 2 to 3 teams that could actually – could actually afford Lamar Jackson at this point. He's done with the Ravens. I look at this from two approaches, because I know you were a little confused when I texted you. First, I wanted Lamar to be signed by the Ravens because I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's that good. I don't think if they would have given him a big contract, he probably has 1, maybe 2 years where he plays really well. And maybe, like, he's not Super Bowl good. I don't think Lamar Jackson's Super Bowl good. He's going to have a couple more years where he plays really, really well. But then he's going to fall off so bad. And I really was hoping the Ravens were going to be locked into a contract bigger than Deshaun Watson for a quarterback who is going to be terrible. Also, he's never played very well in big moments, especially against the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of key interceptions when he plays the Steelers. So I did want him. I want him to be signed. Now, this is so fun for me as a Steelers fan, watching the pain that the Ravens have to go through now. Because it's so late, they really have no other options. Unless they do a 1-for-1 swap with Green Bay, they're not getting a decent quarterback, it doesn't look like. Because there's really no one. All the big names have been claimed. But if you're the Ravens, also, like, if you're a Ravens fan, you got to sit there. Like, the front office, now they're not going to go pay Lamar now. This is a Ravens team, a Ravens front office that won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. They think that they can win a Super Bowl with anybody. So you're not paying Lamar Jackson. The Ravens fans are so upset because they loved him. They thought he was so great. He was so personable. They absolutely loved everything about Lamar Jackson. He's now gone. So I love the misery they're facing. Unfortunately, I do think this is going to be better for the Ravens in the long term, because I do think that they want a pocket passing quarterback, and they want a defense that scares people, because that's just what the Ravens want. They want to get to AFC North football. Lamar Jackson is not AFC North football. And I think there's too much of a clash where the Ravens are AFC North football. They used to, it was them and the Steelers just bullied each other, and that's what they loved. That's when people fell in love with the Ravens. That's how they got the documentary. They shot a guy. Whatever you need to do, they were intimidating. This Ravens team, they tried the ground and pound, didn't really work. I don't think it matches the identity of the Ravens. I think the front office doesn't want to throw a ton of money at him, and I think this is something you're going to see. Like, it's what you saw with the Steelers, with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. The Steelers were like, no, we don't want to pay. Like, essentially, everyone is replaceable, and when you have a franchise like these, you know, like, this isn't the Cleveland Browns. They have faith that we can take anybody and make them good, make them great even. Like, so there is that everyone's replaceable sort of feel, even if maybe it's not true.
I think that is, I mean, if you look at teams that are successful, they do not get emotionally attached to players. Now,
yeah.
This is a lot different of a situation, because it is a borderline franchise quarterback. We don't know what the rest of his career is going to look like, but we do know what the previous 5 years have looked like, and they've looked really good. He's won an MVP award in that span. And the issue, I mean, it's his legs, obviously. And he's had health issues with his legs, too. Yeah. So he hasn't proven that he's a complete passer, which has given the Ravens some weariness on signing that deal, obviously. But it also made, like, I don't know if the Ravens had to know that this was coming. They had to know because they're unwilling to move on their side. Lamar is representing himself, so he's obviously unwilling to budge on his side, and that's been pretty evident. So if they knew this was coming, I think that they're okay with Taylor Huntley as their starting quarterback for next year, whose game is similar to Lamar's at a much lower level, but it's not bad, and he might even pass the ball better. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him to make that conclusion. But the Ravens knew this was coming. There's no way that they didn't. And you also brought in a guy last year in Roquan Smith who had this exact same situation happen with the Bears. He publicly announced that he requested a trade, and the Bears traded him. I see a similar conclusion to this for the Ravens. I don't see him playing for the Ravens because they pulled the Eagles strategy where they don't get emotionally attached players. They cut them once they think that they don't need them anymore. And I think that's where I think that's where the Ravens are right now. They believe they don't need Lamar anymore. They have a good roster. They do have a good roster. And Huntley was right in that playoff game with them last year, and he's proven he can play well. He hasn't proven he can do that over the course of 16, 17 games. But, hey, we'll see. And then if they're bad, they draft a new quarterback next year.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen.
I love the mismanagement. I love the mismanagement of it. Like, just
is it mismanagement, though?
I think it's mismanagement on the Ravens, and I think it's mismanagement on Lamar for not having an agent because he genuinely screwed himself.
Definitely on Lamar.
Because I did hear this point somewhere where by him not having an agent, he's just too emotionally invested. Like, usually what happens is, right, the organization comes with a terrible offer, the agent just rejects it, doesn't even necessarily tell the player what the first offer is. The Ravens are going through this entire thing with Lamar. Lamar's seeing it, and it all boils down to the Cleveland Browns. Did they sign Deshaun Watson just to screw over the AFC North? They might have. They might have done this just to screw over the Ravens.
It could screw over the entire NFL because now there is collusion happening to the highest degree. Can't be proven, obviously, but it's clearly happening because there's quarterback desperate teams every year, and there are some that should be way more desperate. Specifically, a team like the Atlanta Falcons, who had to release a statement saying that they're not going after Lamar because the situation is so much more complicated than the Deshaun Watson situation. It's not more complicated. Deshaun Watson had as many injuries as Lamar. He's had two torn ACLs. He also missed time because of contract negotiations and then missed almost an entire season because of the scandal that he was involved in. Lamar has an MVP award and has not had any off-the-field issues as much as, like, you know, people want to portray him like as kind of this cocky dude. He's been a model player for the Baltimore Ravens. And I think you are right. I think this was mismanagement on the Ravens' part because they did bring in a player like Roquan, and they did figure out how to negotiate his contract when he was representing himself. They probably got a little cocky and thought they could do that with Lamar and maybe even lowball him. I don't know if they lowballed him or their values are just clearly not even close to, like, what they think of each other.
I genuinely sit there and I think, like, I think it's kind of the way I think as a Steelers fan where, okay, we traded Claypool or whatever. I'm like, that's great because we're probably going to draft another wide receiver that is going to be just as good, if not better. Like, Antonio Brown was like a fourth round pick. Was the greatest, best wide receiver in the NFL for 4 years. Like, I've seen this happen, and I think the Ravens have that same level, and it's same with the Patriots, where we're like, oh, Mac Jones is going to be a great quarterback because he's on the Patriots. Now that's starting to shift a little bit. That mentality's starting to go away for the rest of the league, at least. But, like, there still is the Ravens, as much as I hate to say it, like, our rivalry is based more on respect than our rivalry with the other teams in the AFC North. Like, there's a lot more respect with the Ravens, where we're both, you know, good teams. It's been hard-fought battles, not a lot of dirty hits, not a lot of dirty plays and stuff in those games. It's been a lot more of a hard-nosed, just respectful game, like, and more of rugby. And, like, so I think there's that mentality that the Ravens have, where it's just like, yes, like you said, everyone's replaceable. We'll find another one. Lamar Jackson fell to us. We were in a bad spot, and Lamar Jackson falls to us. So,
I mean, yeah, and Lamar made himself. He put himself in this situation by making himself look replaceable because he missed a lot of time with those leg injuries, knee injuries, and I think it was to protect his legs for that next contract. And all that did was put Huntley on the field more and realize, hey, we could be a playoff team with a guy who's not as good as Lamar, but costs way less than him, and build a better roster for ourselves around that guy.
And
I think sitting out really did hurt him a ton.
And yeah, and my final thing I'll say on it is I do think, like, what sucks for him is I don't know that the contract's definitely in the back of his mind, but I don't think that's the reason he missed the playoff game. I really don't. Like, I do believe that he would have played had he actually been able to, like, play in that game and not. I don't think it was because of the contract. I think it was just he literally could have tore something and had surgery and not be able to walk right now, and he'd be having to learn how to re-walk, I think, was more than the contract. So it sucks the timing of when this injury happened with the contract, because if this happened any other year and he chooses to sit out, fans aren't going like, oh, he quit on the team and stuff like that. Like, I think he is getting a bad rap for that, because I do genuinely feel like, you know, if he was signed here, you're going, oh, yeah, like, we might have lost now, but guess what? Lamar's going to be 100% next year instead of him missing the first part of next season trying because he tore his knee up in a game that we're still going to lose. So,
yeah,
I think that's I don't know. I think it's interesting. Other quick news around the NFL, though. I guess we've heard nothing, and I don't want to go down the whole rabbit hole on this again. We've heard nothing out of the Aaron Rodgers camp. Like, either side, we've heard absolutely nothing. It's a similar situation.
Not been traded yet.
Yeah,
still.
It's a similar situation, though. In that, I don't think he's going to play for the Packers again. And I don't think Lamar's going to play for the Ravens again. So I think, like, LaFleur came out today and he was talking about Jordan Love as their quarterback. So, like, he genuinely, like, is just, that's the only quarterback on the roster is his mentality right now. Not like, well, you know, guys, Aaron Rodgers is still on our roster. Like, he didn't do any of that. He was just like, yeah, we think Jordan Love's a really good player, like, all this. Yet it's hard to replace, like, a Hall of Famer. Like, use the word replaced. So I'm feeling pretty good.
He also said you need to temper your expectations with Jordan Love, which gave me a big old never mind.
Yeah.
It just gave me a big old happy feeling in my body.
Yep.
That's what it did.
Yeah. But also shout out Andy Reid not knowing who Jordan Love was. Played against him.
That was awesome.
He played against him.
He's like, oh, yeah, sure he's good. I don't know.
Loved it. And then, oh, what was the final? Oh, it looks like the Commanders might finally be sold. There's a bid that hit the $6 billion mark. There's a bid in for the Commanders. It looks like they finally might be sold by Dan Snyder. So we'll see what happens on that one. Again, it's kind of like Aaron Rodgers, where I don't want to sit here and do the whole, like, hey, the Commanders are finally sold thing, because this has happened like six times already that the Commanders have been sold, and Dan Snyder was definitely selling the team, and then he still manages to be the owner of the team when the season rolls around. So, again, we can get into that more once we talk about it, but is there anything you wanted to say on the Commanders finally being sold, or just, I'll believe it when I see
no,
it.
No, not
guess.
Really. I'm just, I'll believe the same here, and I am, if it does happen, I am genuinely happy for Commanders fans, because
yes,
he is undoubtedly the worst owner in American sports, and I don't think there's a close second.
Yeah.
And I've had some bad owners for my teams, too. And
he's terrible.
I love my owners compared to Dan Snyder. He's just a mess of a man. That's NFL. Do you have any other sports news before we throw it to segments here, Josh?
MLB opening days tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm excited. I'm jack pumped about it. White Sox I don't want
to. You need to go. You need to go. Let me see if they tweeted it out. I'll send it to you. The Pirates. Oh, their owner might not know what they're doing, but the social media team for the Pittsburgh Pirates, they know exactly what to do. They know how to get the people of Pittsburgh. I'm sending you this video. You can watch it later. Go on their Twitter and look up the video they just tweeted out. It is unbelievable. And it's a Yinsplosion. Yinsplosion. Absolutely a great video. It got me pumped for baseball. Like, if Bob Nutting just understood what goes up, like how much we want to love the Pirates and get so behind the Pirates. Pirates are gonna be messing around for a playoff spot, Kellen. I'm gonna say right now, based on this video I just saw, they're gonna be toying.
Based off a hype video.
They're gonna be toying for a playoff spot. I can see it happening. What is your honest, unbiased, because we are unbiased sports here, unbiased opinion on the White Sox, and what do you think? I guess give me a floor and give me a ceiling for the White Sox team day one.
A floor and a ceiling for this team. I mean, the floor is worst team in baseball, and the ceiling is World Series champs. I have no goddamn idea what this team is going to do. And I have a slight inkling that they're going to disappoint me, because they do that every single year. But the White Sox still do have the most talent in the American League Central, which means they should win that division. And they made the correct managerial change in moving on from Tony La Russa. Now we just need to see if Pedro Grifol is the right, like the correct guy. So I'm happy that La Russa is gone. So happy about that. The Super Bowl pen that we built up, it has cancer right now, which hurts a little bit. Okay. Our closer is out with cancer. That's a couple. But he's making progress back. Liam Hendricks, T's and P's for you. Love you. I'm excited for this White Sox team. It's going to be the first White Sox season without Jose Abreu in about a decade, which is going to be weird to feel. But Jose Abreu left for the Astros, and he made that decision himself. So he is now the enemy. I cheer for the laundry here, okay? He is my enemy.
That's what
I love
appreciate
him
about you.
When he is not when he's not playing the White Sox. But we got the Astros week one, opening weekend, okay? And it's a four-game series in Houston against the defending World Series champs. This could be the worst possible start to the White Sox season. They could easily go 0-4 against the Astros. They've played very poorly against the Astros the last couple of years because we're a worse team than them. So a lot of the young guys need to take a step forward. And to take that step forward, they need to stay on the freaking field, which they cannot do. They have not done for three straight years now. And it's because they all just got to – they don't have – I can't say what I want to say because it's just not appropriate. They don't have a penis between their legs, as well as say.
Yeah.
And that's why they can't stay on the field. They're just a bunch of cowards. They're soft, and they've been soft the last couple of years. And the guys that haven't been soft have sucked ass. So the guys that stay on the field are terrible, And the guys that I want on the field do not have the mentality to play a 162-game season, even though they're just playing a freaking game for a living. They should count their blessings. So they're going to piss me off. I'm already getting pissed off right now, and we haven't even thrown the first pitch yet, Josh.
I
didn't want to talk about them too much because I knew this would happen. I'm excited for baseball. I've been looking forward to it for weeks.
You sound very happy.
I really need it because I'm on edge right now, and I just need to watch the games.
This is the sound of excitement and happiness. That screamed happiness. I bet if you played that recording back to anybody, they'd be like, that guy's really happy with his life. He sounds like he's in a great headspace.
Super happy. I'm super excited because I know now, like the Bears, they always have a hold on me. The Blackhawks and Bulls, not as much as the Bears and White Sox, but I still love them. But I now know what is going to dictate my emotions for the next 6 months of my life.
Well, it's great.
It's super dope that I let that happen.
You can be upset about other things, but you don't have to admit it. You just be like, no, the White Sox lost. That's why I'm so angry right now. Like,
yeah,
it's great.
And they'll do a lot of losing.
You don't have to face any of the other emotions you may feel while your sports team's playing. It's why we.
Yeah, what was great? What was super great last year is they really just loved to rip my heart out.
Yeah, that was
over
funny.
And over again. So I could be in a bad mood at all times. Yeah,
yeah.
They're gonna control my life, and I'm excited for it. Is my conclusion.
All right. Let's get into some questions. Do you have any questions for me?
Nope.
I have a question for you.
Any for me?
Nice. I have one for
Let's
you.
Go.
162 Let's game go. Baseball season, Kellen.
Yep.
162 games. Give me a number. If you have to guess, over under what number, give me a number, pick over under how many games I watch of this 162 games, 162 game season. And when I say watch baseball games, 4+ innings.
Okay. And this is for the Pirates then, right?
We can go with any baseball game.
Any baseball team. Okay. I will set the
Keep
over
in mind,
under.
Avi's living with his girlfriend right now, so I'm not forced to watch Dodgers games. So you have to keep that. I do want to tell you that.
I'll set the over under at 4.5 then.
4.5 games?
What are you taking there? Yeah.
Over.
Over. Okay. Over. Okay. Okay. Well, let me reset that.
Wait.
Then. Let me go to 10.
To be fair.
Okay, never mind. I'm taking the under on 4.5 because I didn't like what you just are. You're already walking yourself back, it feels like.
No.
Okay, I didn't let you finish. I interrupted you.
I was going to say, to be fair, you did not. If you watched the video that I sent you on Twitter, that probably would make your under 4.5 sound really stupid. Like,
okay.
My mentality on this is
so
I just watched this video.
Are you buying into baseball? Because I'm the baseball friend for a lot of people, and I've been getting, I've been getting text messages left and right from people who are saying like, I'm getting into baseball this year. I'm like, hey, you've texted me that before, okay? So I'll believe it when I actually see it. It's tough to commit yourself to 162 game season. I'm not saying you're trying to do that, but. People lie to themselves about how much baseball they think they're going to watch before the season starts. Because I think the pitch clock will help. It'll help keep people drawn in for a longer time. But you'll get bored after 162 games. It'll happen.
You got to, if we really wanted to do this correctly, you would just have to look up how many Pirates games were played in the middle of the day while I would be at work. And then take half of that number. And that's probably the number I'll watch. But I think 10's a good one. I do think 10's a good one because we're going, okay. I have to watch 4+ innings 10 times.
Yeah, which, by the way, is still not a baseball game. It's not even close to a full baseball game. Like, I'm setting the over-under at 4.5, which is actually a good number because that is half of 10. And 4 innings is half of a baseball game. So I'm still technically right on this one as setting it at 4.5.
I think 10's better, but we'll
whatever you consider. You consider four innings a baseball game. Okay, cool.
That's how long. If I'm gonna watch a hockey, a basketball game, or a football game, it's gonna be about four to five innings in length.
No, but haven't you heard about the pitch clock, Josh?
I have.
Haven't you heard about the wonders of the pitch clock?
But
I'm actually excited about the pitch clock. I don't want to sound like I'm just.
I also did. I'm stealing this slightly. I had this thought, but let another podcast brought it up. I did think about getting into fantasy baseball. I did think about getting into fantasy baseball so that I could try.
Do you want to co-manage my team?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Because
I don't have any Pirates players on it.
I'm going to get into – can we get O'Neill Cruz or McCutcheon? Can we get, 2013 Andrew McCutcheon?
We can pick McCutcheon up off waivers just A-OK. That will not be a problem. He will be available the entire season to pick up.
Dude,
so, yeah, we'll pick him up for you.
People forget the Pirates have the 2013 MVP and the 2023 MVP on their roster. People forget.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what people are not talking about.
I'm glad you did bring up the pitch clock. I'm glad I brought up the pitch clock because I was going to mention that. Because it's gonna pick up the pace of play. But the last couple of years, there's been a mass introduction of a lot of new analytics into baseball, which has helped us understand the game a lot better. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing for baseball because it helps make teams better. It helps teams like the Rays compete with teams like the Dodgers who don't have the budget of the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Because they can figure out ways to outsmart these teams. So, obviously, a good thing. But you've had all this analytics introduced to the game the last decade or so. And now you've seen the last couple of years, players are just trying to make that all compute at one time. You see them pull flashcards out of their hat. Where do I set up in this shift?
Yeah.
What should I throw this guy? Pitchers are working at a snail's pace. Because they have a plethora of information in front of them, we're going to get back to like a baseball that we're familiar with, that we've seen before, that is actually fast-paced. And it's been a fast-paced sport before. People just don't remember when it was. That's the issue. Because it has slowed down so much over the last couple of years because players just play slow. So players are going to be forced to play faster, and that's just going to become natural for them over time. It's going to be awkward at first, but this is going to be a great change for the game. And, that's why it slowed down, and this is why it's going to pick back up. I'm really excited.
I love it.
For that.
I agree. So let's kick it over to the rest of our segments. Kellen, do you have a player of the week? Let's start it off right there.
I do have a player of the week, and it is Coach Kim English of Providence.
Whoa.
He's the new head coach at Providence, and he's my player of the week because he is challenging his players to a game of one-on-one, and if they win, they can enter the transfer portal. If they don't, they have to stay, and I love that. He's my player of the week for that.
That's what
all coaches should do, and then you're going to be incentivized to just hire, once Kevin Durant retires, hire him to be, the next Texas head coach. And just, hey, you can't leave now, bitch. Sorry.
That's amazing.
So I love that. Kim English, coach or player of the week.
I love it.
Who do you have?
My player of the week is the LeBron James of feet, the doctor. That is the LeBron James of feet, because that is who LeBron went to go see to find out that he can come back for how many games are left in the 20 most important games of his career? How many of those? Not to get you started.
You are
like
filling me with a hot fire of rage right now because this is the pretty much broken hand. We're doing it over again, and people are believing it. People are believing it again. Yeah, LeBron James, he should have missed the whole season. His foot exploded inside of his foot. It's impossible to come back from, says Brian Windhorst, the NBA analyst, not the doctor. Okay, shut up. I hate that guy. I hate LeBron James. He has to let it be known at all times. Hey, I'm hurt, but I'm coming back, baby. And of course, he's coming back against the Chicago Bulls, my favorite basketball team in the whole world. And I hope he lays an egg. They're winning right now, 31-25. But LeBron, shut up. Shut up, dude. We get it. You're 38. You're old as hell, and your game has declined. We don't need excuses for it anymore, okay? The pretty much broken hand, you got swept in the NBA Finals. Congrats on playing with a pretty much broken hand. Now you're playing with a pretty much owied foot, okay? It's less of an injury, I bet. I hate you. You're the worst human being in existence. You suck. I don't know what else to say. I didn't expect this to come up, so that's just off the top of my head. Yeah, but
I'm sorry.
Sorry. So, yeah, you should be sorry, Josh. Thanks for bringing this up. Thanks a lot.
Who's your coach of the week?
Okay. Anyways, yeah. My coach of the week is Ty Lue of the Los Angeles Clippers. Other side, or not even other side of town. Same stadium. Because the dude was on, I don't know, he's on some podcast, some show, and he's talking about how he's built different, like he's just committed to the game. And I was like, okay, cool. Like he's a really good coach. He's won an NBA Finals. He's doing great things with the Clippers. I think he's one of the best coaches in the NBA. And he's really committed to that craft. And then he said, yeah, I missed 7 funerals this year because my team was losing games and I couldn't leave them. I met 7 members of my family died, and I had to miss their funerals because we were on a 5-game losing streak. Like, dude, we can go to their funerals. That's okay. You don't, like, he followed up with, because I'm built different. I'm like, you are, yes, you in fact are built different, but you don't have to be. It's okay. Like, we would understand if you went to a funeral. The Clippers are still going to make the playoffs. So it's Ty Lue for being built different than any other coach in the NBA. Also, yeah, he got stepped over by AI.
My coach of the week
is what?
Mine's the NFL.
Get into it, man.
Mine's the NFL coaches. Just hear the NFL coaches picture.
Just say Matt Eberflus. Say Flus.
It's fun.
I would Harbaugh. Caress his. His chest.
Eberflus and Harbaugh, because Harbaugh had to answer those questions. Who's your fan base of the week, Kellen? I have 2.
My fan base of the week is one person. Again, he is my fan base of the week. It's Chiefsaholic.
Chiefsaholic
has done it again. Because he is on the run, baby. The man who used stolen money to pay for his season tickets and got arrested for it. Cut off his ankle bracelet tracker thing and is on the run. And he is using the money that he made from his Patrick Mahomes MVP future and his Chiefs Super Bowl future to live. And he's the greatest NFL fan of all time. I would never do what he did. I abide by the law. I'm a good law-abiding citizen. But this dude has used the Kansas City Chiefs to live his life. And that's true dedication to the fan base. Yeah. You can tell this dude, he was there for all the bad years. He was there for the Matt Castle years. He's been there. And big ups to him.
I love that. Mine, we're going north of the border, for both of my fan base of the week. The first fan base of the week. No. First fan base of the week is the Toronto Blue Jays. Why are they my fan base of the week? Because tired the Dodger dog, wired the poutine hot dog that you can get at Rogers Center at Blue Jays games. Yeah, that's right. They're putting poutine on hot dogs.
Poutine is delicious.
$9.95. I just so happen to have a crisp plastic $10 Canadian bill. I'm going to go across the border and I'm going to go get myself a poutine hot dog because I want one. So they are my first First fan base of the week. Second fan base of the week. Other.
Yeah, wait, Josh, you ever put hot sauce on poutine?
No.
Good.
I'll do that when I go to Canada. When I go to Toronto, I guess I should say. Other side of Canada.
That's Canada still.
I know. West side of Canada. We're going to go west. The Vancouver Canucks fans, specifically the 2011 Vancouver Canucks fans, because there is a 30 for 30 coming out on the Vancouver Riots after they lost the Stanley Cup Finals to the Boston Bruins. So I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to. It's going to be amazing. And I hope they interview Roberto Luongo.
I hope they interview him and the Sedin twins. That would be great, yeah.
A bunch. So that's my fan base of the week. Let's round it out here with our tweets of the week. Kellen, why don't you go first?
Oh, why don't you go first, actually, Josh?
I'll go first. My tweet of the week is comes from Shay Serrano, and he just tweeted out, if you play, this is referring to Caitlin Clark popping off, if you play Caitlin on Sunday, you better start guarding her on Saturday. That's just kind of a baller tweet, something to be said about you. Like, that's pretty baller. Especially,
like that.
To have a blue check mark tweet that out about you while you're in college, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Especially when no one knew your name a week ago. Like,
yeah.
Just
saying. No, she has been crushing it. She's the best player in college basketball right now in terms of just pure dominance.
My tweet of the week. And
yeah, she's amazing. Go watch her because tournament's nearing an end. My tweet of the week, I just saw it's not really a tweet. It's just a video I saw from the Wisconsin versus North Texas NIT semifinal game where Fran Fraschilla was saying, I hope you bet the over because, you know, it's going to hit something along those lines. Wisconsin failed to score a single point. Well, actually, he said that with about 15 minutes left in the game. Wisconsin scored 7 points for the rest of the game, and North Texas only scored 17 for the rest of the game. But Wisconsin failed to score a single point for the last 9 minutes of the game against North Texas. I cannot imagine a worse feeling heading back into that locker room than getting shut out for the last 9 minutes of a D1 basketball game in a semifinal. That is so
bad.
It's not even embarrassing. It's just pathetic. It's so pathetic.
That's
how your season ends. And that might be how Greg Gard's tenure at Wisconsin ends too.
Wow.
Kind of sad. But yeah, it happens.
That's Wisconsin
Badgers athletics for you right there in a nutshell, though.
That is. That's Wisconsin Badgers Athletics, and that is our show. So stay on bias this week. We will see all of you again next week when we've crowned a national championship in Division I basketball, and maybe we'll have some answers in the NFL world as well. But until then, stay on bias, and we'll see you all next week.